Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. I thought that today that I would go back to the beginnings. We're all aware of what we're going to say and how we're going to explain it. But we've been talking about the heavens and the extent of the stars and the numbers of them and all. How did it all start? What happened to it that we're in the mess we're in? Well, the first three chapters of Genesis tell us. The first two chapters, there is no sin. It's in the third chapter that sin enters, and with it comes the judgment of death. You get to the end of the Bible, the last two chapters are no sin either. They're perfect, and you've got a new heavens and new earth. But this third chapter of Genesis tells it all. This third chapter of Genesis explains exactly what the situation we're now in. When God made man, He made him in His own image. We were made to be like God, but not to be God, but to honor and praise His holy name. It was His purpose, His design, His act. He made us. And then He said to our first parents after He placed them on the earth, and He said everything was good, the creation was good, the Sabbath was good, everything was good. He said to the man and the woman, you can enjoy everything there is here and partake of it, but I just want to test you. I'm going to give you a little test, not a big one, just a minor test. And I want to see that you, of your own will, your own discretion, your own desire, are going to do what I ask you to do. In the midst of this garden, there's a tree. And you can enjoy all the wonders of Eden, get the blessing of it, but I just ask you, don't you touch it, don't you eat of it. And He says, furthermore, if you do, I'm going to punish you. If you do, you're going to die. And I made you out of the dust, and you're going to go back to dust. But if you do what I've asked you to do, you live. That was the covenant of works that God made with Adam and Eve, that they would do what He asked them to do. Don't even touch it. Don't desire it. I'll give you eternal life. And if they hadn't disobeyed God in that point, there never would have been any death. There never would have been the miseries that this world is beset with if they just obeyed God. And beloved, the point I want to make as I begin this is that God was testing in a very simple sense, just don't touch the apple. Just don't come near enough to touch it. I just want to see that your heart is perfect toward me. And of course they disobeyed. We have the judgment that He pronounced upon them right then and there. And they've been with us ever since. Now the first thing I want to point out in this message is that in our present estate, you and I have the confirmation of Genesis 3. We see things happening here, we have things that are taking place that God said would happen. The first thing that you and I see, and perhaps the most important thing we see, as God told Adam and Eve, if they disobeyed, they'd go back to the dust out of which He made them. And you and I are aware of the fact that that's what happens to everybody. They go back to dust. How many centuries has it been since that curse was pronounced and they'd go back to dust? But Adam and all the human race that descended, generated out of his soul, out of his body, everybody dies. Now, I can't argue with death. I can just say, here it is. I can't explain to you that it's the result of Adam's sin. And the calamity of disobeying God is beyond your and my understanding. Just one little touch, just one tipping of an apple, just one saying, eat, it's good. And it destroyed the whole human race. The first thing that you and I confirm in Genesis is the fact that we die. I was interested this week, this scientist that gave us the vaccine for polio. We don't bother with polio anymore. And the papers put his picture on the front page. He's a Jew, 70 years of age. He did do a great thing. But where'd he go when he died? Everybody goes somewhere when they die. We're the only living creature on this earth that continues. Everything else is death and death and death and no life. I'm even glad the mosquitoes die. I'm even glad the bugs don't last. But everything, the trees die, the leaves die, and they finally go back to something. But everywhere you turn, the one great thing that reigns is death. And you and I see it, we know it, we feel it. And that confirms the third chapter of Genesis. Nobody can write these first three chapters but God. He had to tell us. And he gave the story of creation. God did it. God knew how it was done. And there's nobody else anywhere that has any explanation but this Bible. And all we have is speculation and all these different things that the men. It is interesting to see that these scientists have decided the earth is not as old as they thought it was. It's much younger. But they haven't got back to Genesis yet. Maybe someday they'll get back to Genesis. But the Genesis account is the only record man has, and God gave it, of how he came here, what happened to him, and why we die. One of the most important chapters in the whole Bible is this third chapter of Genesis. Now, Paul told us that the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The things which are made and which do appear. Now the next thing I want to say in verifying the chapters of Genesis here, that all the creation, including us, has a seed in itself. Well, Genesis says that. You and I see it every day. A man produces a man. Has a seed within itself. And then the second thing Genesis says that's verified, and we see it every day, is that each seed reproduces after its kind. That's today. That's Genesis, chapter 1, 2, and 3. In other words, these things that are in Genesis, they don't believe them, they don't want to accept them, but they're happening every day that we live. Everything has a seed in itself. And everything reproduces after its kind. God gives life. God ordered the way it would be produced, reproduced. And God is the one that takes it. You know, I was much interested this week, we all were, but what's going to happen in Washington to this doctor that the president appointed. They didn't elect him. But he only had 39 abortions. Those 39, if they'd grown up, might have been Democrats. But anyhow, he got rid of 39 human beings by killing them before they were born. And still the president wanted to be an official. And I'm hoping that the Bible-believing Christians, or even the decent Americans, are coming to say it's wrong to kill these babies before they can come out of the womb and cry. Oh, God. Life is yours. You made it, and man has no right to destroy it. But here we are. I look about us today, and I see these things. I say, well, my Bible's true. My Genesis is true. My Genesis tells the story like it is. And isn't it marvelous that God has given us the answer to these early questions? I'm so thankful it's in the Bible like it is, and we can accept it and look. Stand up for it like God tells us. I'm not going to question God. I'm not going to doubt God. I'm not going to explain anything for God. God has told us what He wants us to know, and that's enough for us to know, and we'll take it, we'll live by it, we'll enjoy the Lord, and we'll spend eternity with Him. Christians have always had this evidence before them. Seed is in itself. The rabbit produces a rabbit. Squirrel produces a squirrel. The robin produces a robin. The mockingbird produces a mockingbird. And the human race produces the human race. That's the order. We accept it, we recognize it, and we rejoice in the fact that God has given me these things. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen in the things which are made. Even His eternal Godhead. Yes. I must confess, I kind of marvel at myself once in a while. I marvel at myself. And we all, every one of us, recognizes that here we are. We're made like we are. We have the faculties we have. And we ought to have sense enough to take care of it. I was talking this week with one of our friends out in the West, and he was telling me about how much things had to be done in Washington. He says, you know, Pastor, he says, you know, when the people came out across the Western Plains out here, they didn't have any federal aid. I said, no, they didn't. He said, that's not all. But he said they came in their covered wagons and they had enough sense to take care of themselves. They didn't have any Social Security either. Imagine the people founding this country and going out across these plains in their covered wagons and developing all these Western states. They didn't have some lobbyist down in Washington trying to get them a grant for some purpose. They did it on their own. They did it in a sense of responsibility for themselves and for their country. And when we give up our personal responsibility, the government takes it over and does what it does to us. I'm going to be so glad if they do cut back the taxes. Well, I hope they do. I wouldn't have as much trouble with my other member canvas if they did. We'd all come back here to where we'd be able to use our money and spend it and invest it in the ways, and beloved, I believe I know better how to take care of my money than the federal government does when it takes it away from me. My, oh, this human race, and these dear saints that opened and developed this wonderful country of ours. Now I want to go forward. From this development, we have these things here that we can see that confirm the book of Genesis. And to you and me, we accept it and are very happy to have it, and we have an understanding. But I want to go further as to why this one tree was such a costly thing when you touched it. This unfolds for us the whole nature of God. You're gonna listen to Him. We're gonna do what He says. We're gonna obey. I don't think don't touch that apple tree or that little tree was such a fine thing. But Jude tells us, or rather James tells us, that even the minor infraction of the law makes us guilty of the whole thing. There's no way in which you can do anything against what God has asked you to do. Do you realize that the sin of Adam, which belonged to him and his posterity, the human race, has filled the cemeteries from that day to this? The frightful involvement of defying the Almighty God. He's always been. A definition of Him we all know and love. But to in any way defy or contradict what God tells us to do it brought the death of the whole human race and all the cemeteries that we have. That's where it came from. And so when I develop this for you and explain to you that God is holy, He's going to remake the heavens and the earth which were cursed. He's going to cleanse them all up. And there's going to be a glorious coming and reigning of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the magnitude of what Adam and Eve did in the sight of God was so great, there's no way it could have been pardoned or dealt with or removed. There's no way that God could wink at it or just say, I won't bother it. It was a contrary, it was an offense to His name. We call it sin. We call it sin. And so great was that catastrophe that there was no way or no plan by which God could save us. He didn't have to save us. And only God designed the plan whereby death could be removed. Only God presented what He has designed, that the seed of the woman, here it is, would bruise the head of this serpent. That's Christ. And God Almighty emptied heaven. He emptied heaven. There were three persons. He said, one of them out. Do you begin to realize the magnitude of this? Can you begin to think of the consequences? Every single human being, every born is dust in the earth today. I stand in the presence of God, always being, the second always there, the second person always there. And then the Father said to the Son, you see what happened down there? Adam and Eve disobeyed me. Satan deceived them. And I want to see if I can't deal with it. Will you go down there and let me put their sins on you? Will you go down there and become a babe and be a full man but not even sin and don't even do what Adam did? You're the second Adam. And when you're tested, you won't take of an apple. You won't take of anything. You obey me. Jesus said, the Father who sent me, He doeth the works. I speak the things that He's told me. Can you understand how this concept has gripped my soul and I've spent my year preaching the gospel? Do you understand what it means when you have the facts of creation and you have the plan of redemption and you have the open door to heaven? How we ought to be seeking to get people to come into it and find the peace and the victory that's there because of the love and the goodness and grace of God. There's nothing like it. The fall of man was so disastrous and so great that the only place that God could find a remedy was in sending His Son down there to deal with the iniquity. Beloved, it's an awful thing to disobey God. It brought the human race back to dust. In these first things I told you in that first section of the sermon, the three things, I should have added a fourth, and I've often thought of it. And we all think of it. Dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. That's what He told them. What happens to the human race when somebody dies? We put them in a casket, and he goes down in the ground. Dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. My, those are stinging words. And then we come to that great resurrection chapter, the 15th chapter. And Paul is explaining the resurrection. He says, as in Adam, all die. So also in Christ shall all be made alive. God explained that a little further. And He does. Christ the first fruits. They that are Christ at His coming. That's us, the rapture. Then cometh the end, and that's when the rest of them. Revelation says the rest of the dead live not again until the end. Christ's going to raise himself he's done that. He's going to raise us. It's on the threshold. He's going to raise the wicked dead at the end. And then they'll be judged according to their works and be cast into the lake of fire. It all goes back to this third chapter of Genesis and all of it. Now let's look at the temptation that Satan used. He came to Adam and Eve and he talked to them and he said, yes, we can eat of the fruit of all these trees in the garden, but the one that's in the middle, we can't touch. And then Satan directly contradicted the Word of God. It's a frontal contradiction of the Word of God. Thou shalt not surely die. He said you would, I say you don't. Satan goes right head on. Well, he did say that in the day that we ate thereof, we'd surely die. And Satan says, no, you're not only not going to die, but you're going to get the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat that apple, you'll be like God. Yes, if you eat that apple, you'll know the difference between good and evil. And then three things. Well, it was designed to make man wise. That's a satanic appeal. It was really good. Satan always has something good to give you. The three things that he said in that passage are all things that the devil has used from this day back to that day and from that day to this day to deceive you and me. And the people of the world think, well, I'm going to get some knowledge. I'm going to be like God. And the very three elements that Satan uses there as he talks to Eve is to tell her exactly what you and I know today. We can't deny this third chapter of Genesis. We can't deny death. We can't deny dust. We can't deny these things. They're all here before us. Beloved, I have to believe that this is the Word of God. I can't possibly not believe it, because God has told it like it was then, and it continues now to be like it was then, and I see. And if I'm satisfied in seeing the things of this earth and the way they are and the way we go to dust, don't you think I can be satisfied with the rest of the things that are in this book? Then what do you say? Oh, God, cursed is the ground for thy sake. All the troubles of the world go back to Adam and Eve. Cursed is the ground. The storms, the earthquakes, the judgments, cursed is the ground. Everything dies. Everything dies. I don't understand how people get wrapped up in these other things, but they surely do. They're all going to die. They're not going to live. The only thing that has life in it and has a soul in it is man. Lions don't have souls. Bears don't have souls. Cows don't have souls. We're the only one that has something in it that's going to tear itself out and go to heaven, or it's going to hell. Someone asked me not too long ago, Mr. McIntyre, do you think that Adam and Eve went to hell? I said, no, I don't. The Bible says they went to heaven. I says, I tell you, somebody that did go to hell, and that was Cain, who killed his brother. And God put a mark on him. You know, I look at those Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother. Why don't they have that in the schools? You can't. Your father and mother split up. Thou shalt not kill. Why don't they have it in the schools? Well, God intended for human life to be preserved, not to be destroyed. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Do you know that this is the kind of preaching they used to hear in Philadelphia? And the pilgrims, they had preachers like me. They were just these strange preachers that got up and explained about the creation, about the fall, and about the sin, and about the judgment. And said, now look here, everybody's reproducing after their kind. Here it is. Seed's always in itself. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. And look at these things that come out of Genesis. They're right here for you to see every day. And if you see these every day, why can't you believe the Bible that tells us how it came to be this way? I can't stand here in this pulpit and preach you this message about the temptations and how they were used of the devil to deceive our first parents. I can't do it without believing that every last one of us must recognize that we're sinners. God did one thing for it. He erected a cross outside the walls of Jerusalem and said, on that cross, I'm going to deal with the sin. I'm going to let my son die, and I'll put the sins of the world on him. And who'll ever believe on him will get his eyes open. He'll see Genesis. He'll see the seed coming. He'll see everything like it is. And he'll say, yes, what we hear now is just as true. You people, thank God that you heard this story. Thank God that you understand why men die. Thank God that you realize that we have to put our bodies back into the dust, because the Lord said in Genesis 3, dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. And if that's true, why can't the cross be true? And it is true. Well, I thought I'd go back, show you what the fall of man was, the calamity that's in it, and then how God moved to forgive and present his Christ. Oh, beloved, you cannot think of anything more glorious than God sending his Son to die for our sins. And he did it. He opened the grave. And now he's getting ready to come and take us all to himself. And the wages of sin, the death, all have sinned and come short. But he that believeth on me shall never die.